We appreciate you choosing to be with us. I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus 28 again. We began last Sunday morning considering this step on the journey, too. If you don't have a Bible, there are some in the middle of the pews. If you see somebody without a Bible, if you want to pass one down to them, they would appreciate that, I know. But we began last Sunday morning taking another step on the journey as we're following the nation of Israel. They are working their way, leaving Egypt, the bondage that they were experiencing there, which illustrates for us our bondage to the world system, and freed from that by blood, the blood of an innocent victim, in their case, a lamb, in our case, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They crossed the Red Sea by a miracle, and now they're in the wilderness. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you know Him personally as your Savior, very likely that as you walk through this world, you sometimes feel like you're in a wilderness spiritually, that things are dry and barren around you. And that's very true. And that was true for the nation of Israel in a literal sense, a physical and material sense, as it is for us who know the Lord Jesus in a spiritual sense. But God had promised to lead them, to direct them, to provide for them. We've seen that as we followed the nation of Israel on this journey. As they're going through the barren wilderness, God is providing for them miraculously everything that they need. And now at the foot of Mount Sinai, where they receive the law of God, and we consider together what the purpose of that law is for us today, to show us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there at the foot of that mountain, we've also seen that while they were there, Moses, acting as their leader, went up on the mountain and God gave him other instructions, including the truth that God desired to dwell with His people, that God longs for fellowship. And we've been considering that in the tabernacle and the pictures that we have seen there. And now we're thinking a little bit about the priesthood. Aaron and his sons, we considered together several weeks ago, Aaron as the high priest. And we see in the book of Hebrews how it's opened up for us so beautifully that Aaron in his role, that he was picturing for us our great high priest, who we read is merciful and faithful. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're on that journey. We have in heaven at the right hand of the Father, we have a great high priest. He's representing us there. But we also began to consider last week, looking at the end of Exodus chapter 28, we began considering that not only do we have a great high priest, but we also, through our relationship with God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, who died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, took our sins upon Himself, and then rose again, showing that God had accepted that payment, that we, through that relationship, are also made priests. I don't know when you were growing up and where you grew up, or maybe you're still trying to grow up, but maybe you remember hearing words something like this while you were at school. Mark Shelley, please report to the principal's office. And maybe you didn't hear that because you weren't in my school, but hopefully you didn't hear that too many times in your own school, unless... You know what I remember? Sometimes when you were called to the principal's office, it was because you were in trouble. Some of you I see out there got called to the principal's office a lot of times. You were in trouble. But sometimes you got called to the principal's office, and that was a privilege. Because you weren't going in because you were in trouble, but rather you were being invited into the principal's office. You know, back in those days, that was a big deal. If you got to come into the principal's office and talk to the principal, and it wasn't about something that you had done wrong, but maybe he wanted or she wanted you to go out and do something for him or her as a representative. We know that's what the priests were experiencing back in this time. We saw last week that the sons of Aaron Let's start out in verse 40, and we read in the first part of the chapter what the high priest would wear, and we considered some of the illustrations of a couple of those items that he would wear when he functioned as a high priest and how they could represent for us things we see in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. In verse 40, we read these verses last week, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles or a sash, and bonnets or a turban shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins," or the waist area, "even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him." And we're not going to go back over that a whole lot this morning. We did that last Sunday morning. But we see here that Aaron's sons, those who were born into his family, they had this great privilege, these wonderful rights, and also some solemn responsibilities. And they were to exercise these rights and responsibilities. They were the ones who were able to come into the tabernacle to draw close to God, to serve Him there. And then we find that they also would go out of the tabernacle, and God used them in ways to represent Him as well when they went out of the tabernacle, functioning in the service that God had given to them. Now again, I'll ask you to silently answer this question as you turn to the New Testament. The book of Hebrews opens up for us the high priestly work of the Lord Jesus. We said there was a book and a chapter in that book in the New Testament that particularly reminds us and reveals to us that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are also priests. If you remember, that is 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. We also see that in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, last time we looked at verse 5. We read a number of verses before that, which again, we're not going to read again this morning, but I encourage you to go back as far back even as verse 18 of chapter 1 and read through in context what we're finding here in verse 5. We're going to read verse 5 just to be reminded of it, but we're going to be moving to verse 9 this morning particularly. But verse 5, for review, he's speaking to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We saw that beginning at verse 18 of chapter 1, that he's speaking to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who have taken God at his word, who have been washed from their sins by the blood of Christ, not because they've done something, but because the Lord Jesus has done everything that needs to be done, and they have trusted Him as Savior, and they've been born again, we read there at the end of chapter 1, into the family of God, spiritually speaking. And in verse 5, he says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So we saw back in Exodus, we saw our example of priesthood. It's Aaron's sons and the garments that they wore. That was an example to us. These things were written for our learning. They were given to us as warnings and things that we could take and apply to our lives today, not just as a history lesson, but as something that we can make applicable to us in our lives. And now we're considering our exercise of priesthood. There in verse 5 of 1 Peter 2, we see the New Testament priest offering up not animal sacrifices as they did back in the book of Exodus, but rather offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. And we thought about what some of those were. But now we want to go down to verse 9. But let's just continue our reading at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," or a people of his own, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Back in verse 5, we see the believer in the Lord Jesus as a holy priest, the one who is called into the principal's office, into the very holy place where God is, that we can come and actually be spiritually by faith in the presence of God. Now we know that God is everywhere at the same time. But we see this sense in which God allows us, as we read in the book of Ephesians, to come into the heavenly places. And again, that's by faith, and it's a spiritual activity. Knowing that God not only is present where I am, but knowing that I am able to experience that presence, that I can talk to Him in prayer, and He hears me, and that He is speaking to me through His Word. And as I reflect on what I have read and what I have heard from Scripture, that God will use that by the Holy Spirit, He's actually speaking to me. And there in that holy place, I am able to offer myself up to Him. I am able to offer all that I have up to Him. I am able to offer my praise up to Him. That's a privilege. That's a right. It's also a responsibility, that we go in as holy priests to offer up those sacrifices acceptable to God, pleasing to God through the Lord Jesus. But here in verse 9, we see not only are we holy priests set apart to God to come into His presence, but also we're like those who go out of the principal's office to represent Him, maybe taking on some committee responsibility or going out to put up posters in the hallway or whatever it is for the principal. But rather we come into the presence of God and we go out from the presence of God also with special rights and responsibilities which are ours to exercise. We're royal priests. You know, the Lord Jesus is the only one in Scripture who is presented as a king and a priest. We see that back in the book of Genesis as a man named Melchizedek that we consider just very briefly in the book of Hebrews, but have looked at in some in more detail on Wednesday nights. A man who was a king, but also was the priest of the Most High God. And the Lord Jesus, we read in Hebrews, is a high priest, not in the line of Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi, but rather he is a high priest in the line of Melchizedek, this king priest, this royal priest. And so we are associated with this kingly one, whom we find in the book of Revelations is not only a king, he's not only even the king, he is the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And we are associated with this regal one, and we come in to offer up these sacrifices, but then brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't stay there in that sense. Of course, we can dwell in the heavenlies all the time, but it's not that we're only there, but we're also sent to go out. And we see why we're to go out there in the middle of the verse here. He's talking about, and we've looked at some of these other things, the chosen generation, the holy nation, the peculiar people back early in the book of Exodus. But here we're focusing on the royal priesthood. And here is the purpose, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here's the purpose that we serve, not only as holy priests offering up those spiritual sacrifices, but also that we're to function as royal priests. We're to show forth. We're to proclaim. We're to tell out. We're to declare abroad. We're to display. We're to express. We're to spread. Tonight, if you come to watch the Love and Respect DVD, the lights will go out. But then there'll be a projector set up, and it'll be attached to a DVD player back in the sound booth. And suddenly the light will come on, and up on the screen back here will be displayed something for you to watch, something very beneficial, something that can really be an encouragement and a challenge and a blessing to everyone, whatever your marital status and whatever the status of your marriage. Can be a blessing, but it's going to be displayed. It's going to be shown forth. It's going to be proclaimed. Out from the darkness, the light is going to show. And that is what God is wanting you to do and wanting me to do. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He wants to use us as a royal priest to show forth, to display, to express. And what is it that we're going to show forth? The King James has it, the praises of him. Your translation, if you have a different translation, it may say the virtues or the excellencies. And that's really what we are to show forth. It's the very value, the worth, the qualities of a certain person. It's not you. We're not going out in order to show forth ourselves, our own virtues, our own glories, our own attributes, so they may be seen in how God uses us. But we're going out to show forth the virtues of this one. He's described there in a verse as the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, when Paul gave his testimony in Acts chapter 26, and he recounted how going down the road on his way to Damascus to persecute those who were followers of this way of Jesus, that as he was struck down, that the Lord Jesus himself spoke to him and said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And he gave Paul, who was then Saul, he gave him instructions. And listen to those instructions from Acts chapter 26. He says, "I am going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." He was to go, and really he was going to be shining that light. He was going to be displaying that light of the virtues of the one who called him so that others could be turned from darkness to light. That was happening to Paul. In a very physical way, he was seeing that experience as he went to blindness by that light. But then later, God opened his eyes physically. God was opening his eyes spiritually. And that is the obvious concern of God today, that when we go out, and wherever you live, and wherever you work, and wherever you play, and wherever you shop, and wherever you function in your life, God is wanting to use you to display his virtues. I think there's a key here. We're going to display the virtues of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those virtues should be lived out through our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I think another key is found over in Philippians chapter 4, look over there with me, we find this same word, this translated praises here in 1 Peter, but over in the book of Philippians, we find it translated in the King James as virtue. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and Paul is challenging the believers at Philippi, and of course he's challenging us as well to think on the right things. Look at verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He's helping us to determine where we should focus our minds, where our attention should be, where our thoughts should be, what we should dwell on when we're not having to think about work, we're not having to deal with children, we're not having to wonder about this responsibility or that activity. Our minds have a little free time. What do we think about? He gives a wonderful list of adjectives here, and he sums it all up, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. If there's anything positive in this, something that can be praised and spoken well of, if there's any virtue there, think about that. And if we're going to show forth, if we're going to display the virtues of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called us out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light, then we need to be thinking on those virtues, on the virtues of the Lord Jesus, on the attributes of God. If you had a piece of paper and a pencil right now, and I said, I want you to, in the next 60 seconds, to write down every attribute that you can think of God, I wonder how many you could get. Would you still be writing at the end of 60 seconds, or would you get two or three and say, not sure where to go from here? Would you get to six or seven and, I'm not sure what's after that? Where do we find the virtues of God? Where do we find the attributes and qualities of God? Of course, we find them in the Scripture. And the more that we're there, the more that we see them listed, the more that we see them expressed, and we can think about those things. We can think about God in His love, in His mercy, in His grace and righteousness and holiness, in His perfection, in His power. And we can go on and on with the attributes of God, meditating on those things, thinking on those things, measuring those things. Of course, there's no measure. They're infinite. But as we seek to measure them, to think more and more about the virtues of the One who by His grace and through His power, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if you've been born again and forgiven of your sins, and you sit here this morning knowing that you're in the family of God, not of works, by grace, through faith, you have been forgiven and brought into His family, you can think on Him. You can meditate on Him. You have a wonderful right to do that, but also a solemn responsibility. As royal priests, we proclaim the worth, the excellencies, the attributes of God. Those things that we've been meditating on, those things that we've been measuring, we can go out and display those to the world, which is in darkness. Saturday night last night, Stuart Barefoot was here. He's not in here, so I can tell this story about him. But it's a good story anyway. Stuart was receiving his Eagle Scout Award. And if you know anything about Boy Scouting, or even if you don't know much about it, that's quite an honor. And you know, his scoutmaster made the comment, and I can't quote him exactly, but he said, Stuart, we're now going to declare your good qualities. And I'd been thinking on this, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly what God is wanting us to do for Him. And different speakers came up, and they spoke about some of the special qualities and characteristics that they see in Stuart Barefoot and have seen in him, not only in his scouting, but in his life. And that is exactly what God wants you to do for Him and for His Son, to display through your life His virtues, His qualities, His glory. Notice, if you want to go back to, well, don't have to worry about it. You just have to take my word for it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, do you remember where we said there that ye should show forth the praises of Him? You should. And really there in the Greek language, that subjunctive mood is the mood of possibility or potentiality. In other words, it may not happen. You could be a royal priest. I could be a royal priest and not show forth, not display the virtues of the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The one who went through those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, that we might be brought into the light of understanding who we really are and who God is and what His plans are for us and how He wants to use us, to use us for His glory. I'd like to make just a little practical application. Three things very quickly in the time that we have left. Three ways that we should proclaim His worth to others. First of all, by our appearance. An appearance that proclaims His virtues. Remember the sons of Aaron? We read about them back in Exodus chapter 28. When the people of Israel looked at the sons of Aaron, what would they see? They would see their garments. God said, I want them to wear this. I have specific clothing that I want those men to wear. And so when the nation of Israel would look and they would see one of these sons of Aaron, one of these priests, the one who had the privilege of drawing near to God to serve Him, when they looked at them, they saw their garments. Remember last Sunday we considered the purpose of those garments for glory and for beauty. In their design and in their color, simplicity and purity. We read in one of the verses that the purpose was that of modesty. And also their appearance before God, that they could come into the presence of God and not be struck dead as human beings. What about us? When people look at us, what do they see? And I'm not talking about our clothing. Again, that was a physical, material priesthood that Israel had, that the sons of Aaron executed. We're talking about a spiritual priesthood. When people look at you and when they look at me, what do they see in our character? Do they see the Lord Jesus in our attitudes and in our lifestyle that evidence is what our attitudes are, our choices, our priorities? Do they see that as the Old Testament priest put on that garment, put on that tunic and that sash and those undergarments and that turban, and they looked and they saw that, do they look at us and do they see that we have, as Galatians 3:27 says, put on Christ? Do they see that we have put on the Lord Jesus? As we have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That we have put on, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That we have put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. And above all these things, had put on love. As we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we allow Him to take control of our lives, as we spend time meditating on His virtues and considering who He is and asking God, Lord, I want You to show forth these virtues through my life. Lord, I have a very difficult time doing that on a consistent basis, but Lord, You are able. Nothing's too hard for You. I yield myself to You. By the Holy Spirit, cause these things to be lived out. Bring them to my mind and help me to react and to act in such a way that people look at me and by my appearance, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, back in Exodus 28, we see that the high priest wore the same thing that the priest did. But of course, he had those additional garments. He had that crown, their holiness to the Lord and pure gold on his turban. And of course, he had that breastplate with those jewels representing the people whom he represented. And there on his shoulders, those onyx stones with the names. He had additional things that they didn't have. And of course, the Lord Jesus, his glory, his beauty is far above anything that will ever be seen in us. But we should have him on. We should reflect the Lord Jesus, his glory, and his beauty. When others look at us, in the way that we live our lives, we should have on the Lord Jesus for glory and for beauty. That the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus, his majesty and splendor being lived out through us because we've been with him, we've been in his presence, we've meditated on him, we've talked to him, we've listened to him, we've committed ourselves to him, will be seen by others. In simplicity and purity, that the attractiveness of the humility of the Lord Jesus and his holiness will be seen in our lives. That the modesty and dignity of the attractiveness of Christ's virtue and appropriateness. And that we'll have on the Lord Jesus, because we know that he's the one in whom the Father is well pleased. That others may see the Lord Jesus in our appearance, in our character, who we are. That they'll also see his virtues proclaimed, secondly, in our actions. We've not gotten into it because it's more in the book of Leviticus, but these priests, they had responsibilities. God gave them duties to handle. They were prescribed for them, and they were to take these duties, and some were on a daily basis, some were on a weekly basis, some were at different occasions throughout the years, some would just rise up when maybe they weren't even expecting it, and they were to handle these and obey in service, obedient service. And for us, of course, we have duties prescribed too. We don't have time to look at the many things in the New Testament. They're wonderful rites, and they're also solemn responsibilities. Evangelism, of course, comes to mind. We are those representatives of the Lord Jesus. We have been in his presence, and we can go and we can show forth, we can proclaim his virtues, his attributes, his qualities. You know, I appreciated Wednesday night, those who came early and helped put together those door hanger bags, 2,000 of them, a lot of stuffing. Appreciate the ones who prayed. And I appreciate the ones who went out yesterday and gave of their time. You know, there were two men that I know of that were over 70 years old and out there for 3 hours walking the streets. Why? They wanted to display the attributes of the one who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. There was a lady there, the first time she'd ever done anything like this. Her knees were bad. She ended up with blisters. But why did she do it? She wanted to display the virtues of the one who called her out of darkness. There were adults there who were sacrificing other things they could have been doing. Why? Because they wanted to display the virtues of those who called, of that one who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. There were teenagers there, choosing to get up early enough to go out and display the virtues of the one who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. There was a mother there with a little 4-year-old child who, by the way, woke up early Saturday morning and said, "I want to go seed sowing." And she took that child all around for those hours. Why? Because she wanted to display the attributes of him who called her out of darkness into his marvelous light. Was a brother with a burden to leave the neighborhoods where we were to go over to Smith Homes. And another brother went with him to the housing project to pass out this information, particularly the gospel. Why? Because they wanted to display the attributes of God. And many of us here are involved in many different ways in displaying the attributes of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Maybe you don't feel like you are displaying. Maybe this is a challenge to you from God to in some way in your life show forth by your actions, your appearance, yes, and your character, but taking that next step and also in your actions. Maybe it's in good works, as we've been emphasizing this year, that your light is shining before men, that they might see your good works as you reach out to them in love, and that they may glorify your Father who's in heaven. That you might pray one for another. That you might choose to do the right thing. Paul told the Ephesians, you used to be darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Very quickly as we close, a third way, announcing. You know, people should see it in our characters, they should see it in our actions, but they should also hear it in our words. The Levites were responsible, and the priest with them, we read in 2 Chronicles 30:21, to praise the Lord day by day. And they sang with loud instruments unto the Lord. They let it be known what they thought about God. Malachi 2 tells us that the word of God was to be in their mouths, so that when someone came to them, it would go forth. They were the ones who were to bless others, as we read in Numbers chapter 6. And you know, as New Testament priests, we are also to proclaim His virtues, not only by our character, not only by our actions, but also by the things that we announce from our mouths, that we might speak well of Him through our conversation, through our songs, through our testimonies, that it might overflow, that we might rejoice in Him and talk about Him, that we might know Him and we might communicate to others His virtues and how wonderful He is. How wonderful is He to you? That's a question. I meant to make that a question. How wonderful is He to you? Again, if you had a piece of paper and a pencil or a keyboard and a computer screen, could you go to town right now and talking about what He means to you, how wonderful He is to you, how that should overflow in our conversations with one another, and that it should overflow to where unbelievers would also be informed and they would also be invited to come to the Lord Jesus, that we might show forth as royal priests. What a privilege to be a holy priest, to come before God, to approach the one who made all things, the one who cannot look upon sin but sees us in His Son, to come to Him as a holy priest and to offer up, Lord, I am yours completely. Here is the sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. Lord, everything I have is yours. Lord, I want my praise and my worship to rise up to you, and then to go out as a royal priest, knowing that we have the great privilege as well as responsibility to display in a dark world the virtues, the attributes, the wonderful things about the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light through our character, through our actions, and through our words. May that be true. It's a great privilege, a solemn responsibility. God will enable us to do that. Might we encourage each other in that? And if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you are missing. You are missing these great privileges. We'd love to talk with you more about how you can know you're forgiven of your sins, and you'll never answer to God for those sins. Rather, He'll wash them as far as the east is from the west through His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. We'd love to talk with you about how by faith you can know Him personally. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Son. What a wonderful High Priest, so merciful toward us, so faithful to us. Father, truly He is the great High Priest, and we thank You for the privilege of serving under Him, of being priest, holy priest, set apart for Your use, royal priest, associated with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we want You to use us. Father, we confess our weakness. We confess our past failures or our sins of not exercising our responsibilities before You. Lord, work in our hearts even now and draw us that we might be more in Your Word, that we might be looking for the Lord Jesus on every page, that we might see your character there. Father, we might allow you to work through us, that we might make those right choices as you give us strength. Might we step out in faith. Thank you, Lord. May others see your virtues this week through our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.